Hey, welcome to the Beat House. Jeff here.
Hey, Chris here. Still here? Still hanging on? Oh my gosh, it's been such a great week.
It has been a good
week. It got hot.
It got hot.
I didn't like it.
You know, this September is a mother. You know,
I mean, do I look like I'm built for hot? I look like a panda.
So, I mean, I don't think we've talked about it on the air, but I have been losing weight.
Really?
Yeah, we did the GLP-1. My wife and I have been on Zepbound, and that has been a little adventure with our whole GI in a ruckus. But I'm down a little bit over 30 pounds now.
Congratulations, man. Outstanding.
Thank you. It feels, I don't think I've been this light since the start of the pandemic.
I'm still trying to get back to post accident last year.
Yeah, no, I would love to get down to pre-Owen and get the pregnancy weight that I put on with my wife is a sympathetic thing off.
Yeah.
You know?
I think a friend of mine once said, I want to get back to my original weight. 6 pounds, 10 ounces. I'm sitting here, I don't think your skeleton weighs less than that. he makes jokes about it. Anyway, so, hey, welcome to Meat House. We're, obviously, we're having too darn much fun.
Exactly, yeah.
So, let's start off with, we're going to talk about Bacchus and Barleycorn, our sponsor. They've been sponsored since January. They've been extraordinary. Every time we go in, they're just, hey, how you doing?
And you know, if it was just, hey, we work with them, and we have a great working relationship, it'd be one thing. But they're that way with everybody.
They really are.
I'm pretty sure the new guys there don't know who the hell I am and have very little idea that I used to work there myself.
I met one of them, yeah.
Jake has been sponsoring us for this long. You're just like, hey, how's it going? Do you want something from the tap out here? And like, oh, yeah, what you got?
Yeah, when I was there last week, I went, one of the new guys, I don't know his name yet, but he goes, hey, well, I'm going to help you find. So I need this and this. He goes, okay, you need yeast? I'm good on yeast. Well, what else can I help you find? I'm sitting here. I'm good, but you are new. You know? And but yeah, he fits right in with the family there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nah, dude, you don't need to help me find anything. If anything, I will find more than I came here for.
I did. I picked up another bottle of the Hazy Lemon because he had it, so I took it.
Why not? Right? Yeah. It's one of those things. It's the curse of it. And hey, you know, if you need a little discount for your various shopping experiences,
it's MHP10, and I'm getting better at this. I'm finally figuring out this freaking acronym.
I think that's like 3 weeks in a row, dude.
Oh my gosh, it's like magic for me. I mean, I'm feeling all robust and everything. Apparently, to me.
That'll save you 10% off of your purchase. Yeah. You know, you can follow the links in the show notes for the link to their shop. And hey, that promo code is in bold, so use it.
Yeah, right. By all means, you know, they've offered us to give to you guys, so you can save a little bit extra. Their prices are competitive to begin with, guys, and they are more glad to help you out with all your fermentation needs. And that's not just alcohol. That's kombucha. That's
yogurt.
Yeah, I mean. If you want to do it, you can do it here, because if it's fermentation, they got you covered.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let those little microbiomes get to work. And hey, the other people we need to thank, as always,
our listeners. Absolutely. You guys are sticking with us. We really appreciate it. And it's always glad to have a group conversation, even if you're just listening. And we appreciate the numbers are going up. And it's awesome to have you guys, you know, say, hey, this is actually something I want to listen to. And that means a lot to us. It really does.
The fact that you guys are listening, you're commenting, sending in emails, and guys, thank you so much. It makes the fun of this even better for us.
Just, oh, yeah.
Knowing that you guys are getting something useful out of me and Chris sitting here talking about meat and having a little fun conversation.
And our wives thank you, because we're not always talking about to them.
Something to be said for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, Chris, was it 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we did the talk about fall
flavors.
Fall flavors.
Fall flavors, yeah. I think it was,
you know what I got the next day?
What'd you get?
My quarterly shipment from Sap House.
Dude.
And the timing on this could not have been better, because you know, one of them is, it's not the one we're drinking in this episode, but we will probably drink it in a future episode, probably, just because it's a pumpkin spice mead. It's
perfect.
Yeah. It's cinnamon, it's clove, it's nutmeg, it's allspice. It's got all those in it.
And we talked just last episode, we talked about this.
Like if You guys, if they had gotten it to us a week earlier, it would have been the flavor of the day for the reason of the season.
Yeah, it
Like,
really would have
literally.
been. Yeah, the Halloween episode we had would have been that. Yeah, oh man, that's awesome.
But man, usually now, my shipment from Sap House, the quarterly shipment, is 4 375 baubles. Sap House hooked me up this month, and
Really?
I don't mind saying, hey, thank you guys. Thank you. Now, some of these are a little lower ABV, and that might come out in the balance, but in this shipment, I got 2 750 bottles.
Ooh.
The a traditional they made for, I believe it's the main Renaissance festival, called Yorkshire's Best, and then that pumpkin spice one called Wild Rover, also 9%, also for the main Renaissance festival. 750s of both of those, which is
That's full bottle, man.
right there is the usual volume I get in my shipment.
Yeah,
On
but
top of that, I also got a 375, something they call Paranoid, which is like it's pear, cranberry, spruce tips, red currants, and an aged gin barrel. And
I'm intrigued.
yeah,
I'm intrigued.
that
A gin
sounds
doesn't gin isn't aged in a barrel, is it?
generally no, but there are some, we're in a little bit of a craft cocktail world these days where people are trying new things, and apparently some of the gin guys are like barrel aging some of their gins. And I've heard you can like sub, bourbon or other aged spirits with this aged gin in cocktails to create interesting new like flavor components and dynamics there. So I'm kind of interested in going over to Total Wine and seeing if I can find some
That
later, you know?
sounds in. Yeah, I like that idea. But well, someday in the future, we're going to have to talk about cocktails with mead. That's something we've talked about before. We have not done anything with it.
Right. We need to. We've talked a little bit about. We've th thrown out ideas. I think we need to.
Set up an impromptu bar and make it ourselves
Yeah,
here.
put our nose to the grindstone and actually get some recipes we can share with you guys at home, right?
That'd be awesome.
But anyway, I got that 375, and then I got four cans of the mead of today, the Queen's Mead, which is, it's a light 6%. Is it carbonated? I
Yeah, so
think it's
let
a
me get this
little.
going here.
Yeah, I'd say that's carbonated. This is a pog.
Now, Queen's Mead, I talked about many episodes ago, was it was the Queen's Mead, the favorite mead of Queen Elizabeth the First. Is this the same thing?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
So your historical mead, Queen's Mead recipe that you shared, this is not that at all. This is actually a pog, a pineapple, orange, and guava, which is just a fruit combination of juices that were really popular in Hawaii at one point, if I'm not mistaken. And now it's in a mead. It's a little 6% easy sip in hydromel. It's lightly carbonated.
6%. This is, well, compared to what we've done in the past, fruit juice.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to we'll kill these cans and be good.
Yeah, I'll be happy. All right, now, well, do we
Smell
ever not kill
this.
a bottle? Pretty rarely.
And come on, man. The Sap House has consistently been some good stuff. The
Oh
worst
yeah.
we've said, it's not my favorite, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
it's
the
more subjective.
worst we've said about their stuff.
But this,
And
you said 6%. It's a light amber yellow color. I mean,
yeah.
it's like a kind of semi-dark straw.
Yeah, a medium dark straw to light amber, I'd say. A little bit of haze, but that could just be the carbonation and the
I think
cold.
it's carbonation. So,
And the smell is it's pineapple and
it's pine,
orange,
and I
right?
smell that guava right in the back there, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's
that's pretty good.
potent and
That's very fruit forward, though. And they sell this just retail, don't they?
yeah.
No, oh, well, I'm. Let me get on my computer because I'm gonna have to get some of this. This is good.
I got four cans of this along with the 275s and the 375. Like I said,
Big.
they hooked me
They
up.
hooked you up. That,
This
thank
is
you guys.
and
This is good.
this is all a like a Renaissance fair themed release for their meat club.
And the fall season is Renaissance season. We actually had the one here at
Right.
KC for now. We're in their fourth week now, I think.
I think so,
Yeah,
yeah.
fourth weekend, I think. I should know that, but I don't. But holy cow, but yeah, I need to order some. This is good.
Well, and this is the most recent of a long line of more session strength meats that they've released. They have oh, what was it? The Wrench Turner was one they had for a while that was real good that I've tried. And the names escape me off the top of my head, but no, I have long been a proponent that when it comes to low ABV, easy drinking, flavorful drinks, forget the seltzer. Go session mead. And this is strong evidence of that. I think this is maybe a little stronger than alcohol wise than a seltzer, but it is packed with actual real fruit flavor.
Oh, it's
And
really good.
calorie wise, it's probably a little heavier than a session. I don't, they
They didn't put them in the can, so I don't know.
generally, yeah, they don't put calorie counts on alcoholic labels. I'm
That's
sure
probably for the
for good
best.
reason,
That's
yeah.
probably for the best.
But yeah, I can't imagine it's that much worse than, a 12-ounce seltzer.
I really appreciate you sharing this with me. This is good. I mean, I'm still going to make my queen's mead as soon as my bush comes into being,
Oh, sure.
but
I'm not.
this is good.
Yeah, this. I think the name is just a convenient thing that fits the Renaissance vibe, and I'm sure that they're selling this on the ground at that main Renaissance festival
The King
too.
Richard's Fair is what it says on the can here. Yeah, so okay. Hey, Sap House, good job. I mean, okay, I jumped up on their site because I said I want to order some of this. They have barrel-aged meads, signature meads, honey seltzers, experimental and uniquely crafted meads, which I assume this is one of them.
This actually might be in the honey seltzers because it's carbonated.
Okay, and then they have decadent meads. I'm sorry, that just sounds like something I want to look at right
Well,
now.
let's take a little wonder, and
Come on.
if nothing comes of this, nothing comes of this, and we'll just cut it from the episode.
Ah, oh, there it is. Back in the meats. Oh,
Om nom nom.
om nom
Om.
nom mead. That was the first one that came up.
Scroll up. You hit something else, and it loaded the signature meats instead.
Okay, so decadent meads again. Let me get that back.
Om nom nom has showed up in a couple of my releases too, and it's pretty special. That's the, what is it, like oatmeal raisin,
Okay.
and it tastes like oatmeal raisin.
They got a pumpkin pie. We just talked about that last week.
Right.
We
That's,
did.
and as the they go through the different seasons, they have different pie releases too. I've had a strawberry pie from them and a blueberry pie.
Going to ask you here right now, man. I think we may have covered this before, but I've
Oh.
forgotten. How do you get a crust flavor in the meats?
That's a question. I think the best way I've heard so far off the top of my head, as far as my memory goes, is to use flake grains like flaked oat or flake wheat and
Like steel cut or flaked?
flaked.
Flaked, okay.
Like when we say like flaked oats, we're talking like the traditional oatmeal stuff
Okay.
where it's pressed between two hot rollers and it kind of gelatinizes some of those starches so they're not fermentable anymore.
That's the only two of the decadent meads is the om nom nom.
Well, let's hit the seltzers and see what they got there.
Let me see what they got there for seltzers. Honey seltzers. And I'm sorry my computer is so slow today, but I've got like eight tabs open. So now I'm not shocked.
Nothing in there right now.
Nothing in there right now. Well, I'll look more of this later, but let's continue what we're doing here.
Experimental and uniquely crafted, real quick. I mean, I'm probably going to cut this from the release anyway. But incidentally, if you see anything on here you like, I think I get a little bit of a discount. If I just add stuff to my quarterly.
Okay.
So the next time I get an email saying, hey, choose your quarterly stuff.
Cherry blossom green tea, smoked rhubarb, and fir tips. Sounds interesting. Oh, we've had that one.
Yeah, we had that.
We've had that one. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that was from the summer release, actually. We
Yeah.
had that. So a few months back, but yeah. And
The fir tips is what tipped me off on that one because that was a kind of a surprisingly pleasant mead. It wasn't fantastic, but it was really good.
yeah, it was interesting. Actually, I think I realize why there's such little supply on this website now. I saw a note on, I want to say it was like the 8th or the 9th, so it was like a week and a half ago, that they were closing the tap room at Sap House to take the staff out for like a dinner because they had such a successful summer and nearly sold out of stock.
Well, that's a hard, tough problem to have. I got sugar maple mead and a vanilla bean in their
So yeah,
signature meads.
their
So,
stocks and stuff changes, by the season, obviously. It's kind of they'll change stuff out, but I think yeah, they have a handful of these lower ABV in a can kind of lightly carbonated meads that are just nice like that.
yeah,
And
this is really good. They have a vanilla bean mead at 18%, man.
Yeah, it's upstairs on my pantry.
Why is it down here in our booth? All right, anyway. Back to what we're doing. Okay, we were talking about, wow, we were talking Queen's Bee. That's really good. But we're talking about exotic fruits today, I believe.
Well, and yeah, just handling fruits in general too. Like we have, I there is a YouTube channel I watch called Weird Explorer, and professionally, I think this guy is like a clown or a mime or like a contortionist. I think it's a contortionist. But he's traveled a bunch for his job. He did a university class in China at like the same clown college Jackie Chan learned from, I think.
Wow.
He's done a bunch of like shows and acts around Southeast Asia, and the whole purpose of his channel is just documenting weird fruits he runs into.
Okay.
And yeah, no, there are a number of reasons why these fruits aren't like better accessible, better prepared. You know, some of them just don't store very well, or they have a microclimate like in the part of Indonesia or whatever that they grow in that just
It
can't be
makes it hard
replicated
to,
elsewhere.
yeah. And I, on that note, I told you earlier, I think my computer's listening to me again, but it showed me a reel that had like 10, 11 kind, 10, 12 kinds of bananas. Sometimes like ice cream, some are just humongous.
Yeah, the well, and that's another thing. We were talking, I think, last week about like fruit flavors and candy flavors and things like that not matching up. You know, the reason fake banana flavor doesn't taste like bananas,
Because it used to taste like bananas.
right? I can never remember the name of the like subspecies or like
But it
sub
was more
like.
seed than actual meat in it.
Well, and it was a different flavor in the meat itself. It was grand something or other, and then there was a huge fungus thing that basically killed off 90% of those trees.
And now we have the desert we have today.
Yeah, now we have the Cavendishes, the kind you find in your grocery store at like 89 cents a pound, because they're resistant to that kind of fungal rot stuff. And that's just one of a bunch of different varieties of bananas.
It was the
Gros Michel, yeah.
Gros Michel, yeah, or Big Mike, because but yeah, I've seen the picture. You cut it open, there's more seed than there's actual meat in it, and that was actually the taste of what we use for artificial banana. They just haven't changed the flavor.
Well, and it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't a complete match to the Gros Michel, but probably closer than it is to the Cavendish we're used to
Oh,
today.
it's definitely, Cavendish is completely different to me. My wife, whenever we use, I use banana flavor, she says, it tastes like vanilla, imitation banana. And I'd be, when she's like that, I don't tell her that it's actually an original flavor, but,
You know, you can be right and you can argue about it and it still doesn't help and you're still wrong.
And
There's no winning there.
she uses swords like I do, and she's faster than me, so no.
So yeah, no, there are so many different other types of varieties of bananas, and I think like you know, you can find like the what is the ice cream bananas or the blue Indonesians, for example. Those are getting more popular, but they're still kind of hard to come by. But I've seen like I don't remember if it was like the ugly fruit shipment company we tried that had them, or if it was somebody else that was advertising them. But you know, one of those companies had them where you could get in limited supply, and I didn't get a chance to try it. And I didn't have it at the time, or it was like already sold out or something. But you know, those are becoming more and more popular. But there are so many varieties out there, and like I've seen people selling like the little dwarf stock banana trees and stuff too. Like there are ridiculous amounts of, and there's a fruit I have been really interested to try that is native to right here, and I have never gotten to try it.
What is it?
Pawpaw.
The pawpaw tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I only know of it from folk literature, to be honest.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, okay. Do you know what it tastes like, or what anything about it? And I
I
don't,
don't,
like I said, I only know from folk literature.
I have heard of. I've heard it's tasty. I don't remember the flavor notes that it comes on. It grows locally, and one of the other dads in my son's scout troop at one point gave me 10 seeds and I lost them before I could plant them.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, and it's also 10 reasons why my wife isn't furious at me today. So there's that.
Let me look it up real quick. Common pawpaw, custard-like fruit that matures late in summer, thrives most in fertile, acidic soils. Can found in eastern United States, forming colonies. Doesn't say anything about the flavor that I can see here.
Fleshy berry with a sweet custard-like flavor, often compared to a mix of banana and mango.
Okay, well,
So,
that sounds like a good combination right there.
right, yeah. And that grows locally. That grows right here. That's native to right here.
Well, when you get you find your 10 seeds, get more 10 more seeds, or find somebody has established trees or bushes or whatever the heck they are.
Well, that was last fall, so maybe I can talk him into giving me another 10 seeds.
Yep. Grovel. Grovel. I'll help you grovel on that one.
I might be passing five of them your way, pal.
But that sounds good. I mean, that would be banana and mango flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome just by itself.
Yeah.
Man. I mean,
yeah. Let alone put it into a meat, right?
Yeah, let alone put it into meat. But you know, there's another one you brought up earlier. Is the chermoy?
Cherimoya.
Cherimoya, thank you.
No, this is years and years ago I found cherimoyas at the 888 market, this big Asian grocery store on the south side of the metro area. And they are the most intriguing looking fruit because they have their surface flesh is like green and it almost looks like reptile scales.
Okay.
And it's soft. It smelled kind of like a nice tropical fruity note. It was interesting to look at. And so, you know, my wife and I were like, okay, well, let's see, right?
Yeah,
let's just look, let's grab a half a dozen and take them home. And
you tried them?
I tried them. I tried making a mead. It had a secondary infection that it didn't go anywhere, unfortunately.
And when you do an experiment with, that just hurts because you look for those more than just the ones you're good at.
Right. And I tried a little bit of the flesh as I was processing. These guys have like probably seeds as big as like the first joint of my thumb. They're not small.
Okay.
And so you kind of have to cut them in half. And
are they toxic like apples? And
if you ate a couple of them, you'd probably be fine. If you ate like 50 of them, you might have a bad night. It's not that toxic, but it's there. And so, and I also didn't know like what's that tannin. Oh, excuse me. Hiccups like crazy.
Yeah. See, if you get for doing carbonated drinks here, buddy.
I also didn't know like what the tannin addition was going to add to the mead, if it was going to be like nasty and kind of a weird fruit flavor to it, or I'm sorry, a weird like vegetable flavor to it. But I worked through, I think like half a dozen of them, just picking the seeds out and getting the flesh separated from the skin and stuff like that and put it into a mead. And I am sad that I never got to taste it because the flesh tasted really good. It has a kind of a really creamy and like lightly tropical fruit, kind of a pineapple banana kind of
like milk creamy,
like smooth creamy.
Okay.
Like, it didn't taste milky, but the other name for these, the cherimoya, is custard apple.
Yeah, you told me that.
So it has that kind of custardy feel to it, and like apparently this was Mark Twain's favorite fruit, hands down.
Okay, he would. Okay, that doesn't shock me after reading, you know, the history of Mark Twain years and years ago, but he could not be bourgeois. He had to be unique. So
right, but apparently a lot of people that have tried these rare fruits and things like that, they keep saying, "Oh, cherimoya, cherimoya, cherimoya." So that makes me even more intrigued to find another source for these, to be honest.
I'll keep it out with you because that'd be interesting. Okay, well, so we're talking
kind about of the point here, though, is that, you know, when you encounter a weird fruit like this, what do
you do? Okay, no matter what I do, I would always get the seeds and core out if there is one.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because I don't know what's there. And what if I want to plant? I'm a gardener at some core level. So I'd want, you know, I can see like this have the option of planting it. But, you know, like apples and apparently cherimoya, they're at least mildly toxic and, you know, get rid of them.
Yeah. And it's, seeds are also problematic from an eating perspective too, just because they can be hard to chew on. And,
yeah. And even if you distill them, you still have to deal with them. Why? But, okay. So let's talk about exotic fruits. Now, I have actually made a dragon fruit that you are well aware of.
Yes.
It tasted not bad,
mm-hmm.
but dragon fruit is very mild. I was fortunate to get pure dragon fruit juice, which is what I made it from.
Right.
There's a variety of ways. I've talked about this before. I will generally, as a reflex, and you do it too, freeze the fruit, mash the fruit, freeze the fruit, mash it more, and then use it.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is break down cell walls mm-hmm. so the yeast has easier, better access to the sugars.
Yeah. All we want is the sugar, the fibrous part of the fruit. We're going to throw that out at some point.
Yeah. That's why we have the pectin enzyme and we have the bag.
Yeah.
That we put them in.
Just ease our process on that. And I think at the end of the day, you know, if I encounter weird fruit, hopefully I'm also going to encounter somebody that's used to eating it. And in this case, I just went to the Triple Eight market, and I didn't really talk to anybody. But let's say I'm on vacation in
Or land, it doesn't matter, or
right
somewhere weird
southern
than.
Mexico or whatever. I could talk to somebody and say, "Oh, hey, this interesting fruit. How do you eat this? What parts do you eat? Do you eat the skin? Do you split it open and just eat the meat? Do you eat the nut? Do you discard the nut? Like,
Give me the rundown here.
what is the part that I should be consuming here, and what part is trash?"
Doesn't taste good to whatever reason you don't eat it.
Yeah, that kind of will guide our hand as to what we want to do with this fruit, especially when it comes to making meat,
Yeah. I know there's a variety of ways to do this. Now, generally, you and I do the freeze and mash method.
right? Yes,
And
and
that because we have a freezer that we can throw it into and mallet.
right, and with you don't even need a mallet generally if you let it thaw. We're talking about berries for the most part with this one, although I imagine this would work for like a number of different fruits, like stone fruit, for example, would probably work for this too, like peaches and plums and stuff like that. You could just leave it in the bag, hope the bag doesn't have any holes in it, and just squish with your hands until you get a softer consistency to it.
And again, we've said this before, leave the skins on because you got a lot of tans there you may want.
Right, and a lot of these, the berries, that tannin component, it adds nice things to your final brew.
Yeah, it really
And
does.
there's no telling. This is probably on, random experimental fruit, 106, something you want to test with and without to see if the skin is a good addition there.
Okay, we've talked about the freeze mash method that we you and I use.
Right.
You can also turn it into a syrup. You can put it in a slow simmer and reduce it to mush in a syrup.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't throw anything out from the syrup from you know, I'd take the seeds out, whatever, it's not supposed to be there,
Seed
and
stems, anything like that. Yeah.
and then simmer it into a syrup and you can use that too. Nothing wrong with that. That does the same process in a different direction.
And it's honestly pretty fast. I don't know if you've ever made like a raspberry jam. Those cook down super fast. I
And
was
I've
surprised.
made tomato sauce, so yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It doesn't take, you can make a from tomatoes to sauce, it's an hour maybe.
Well, in the same process of like kind of heating for extract, a number of people I've seen on like Facebook or Reddit and stuff have used like a steam juicer.
I have a juicer, right? It's a mechanical juicer, it just grinds and squeezes or whatever, but I don't have a steam juicer.
So the steam juicer is, it's a three chamber apparatus kind of a thing, and it has like a bowl where you put water. It almost looks like a bundt pan in the middle part, where there is a column in the middle where that steam rises to the third part, which is like a basically a colander where you keep your fruit. The idea is that it produces steam, creates a gentle heat up in that colander that breaks down the cell walls, and all the juice and stuff leaks into the middle part, that bundt pan looking part, where you have a little sieve you can extract juice from. And I've heard that this is a really good process for that because it's gentle extraction, but it's also very thorough extraction.
That's the great part.
And so for softer fruits, this works really well from everything I've heard. Berries, strawberries obviously would be good with this one. A number of maybe stone fruits would be okay because it is a softer
Even like, let's
flesh.
see, dragon fruit would probably be pretty good with this one because the skin is hard, but the fruit itself is not.
Okay, yeah, if it's softer, then you're
Star
probably,
fruit.
it's been an age and a day since I've had star fruit, but it's very possible that, yeah, a lot of tropical fruits that have a thicker skin, if you get a little bit of elbow grease into cutting it up into usable chunks, then this is probably a good method for that. I don't know if the heat does much to damage flavors. Another thing that I hear these steam juicers used for a lot is basically preserving juice or making, jams and things like that. But
And I'll be honest, I filled up a list of exotic fruits on my computer. There's some I've heard of, but I have no idea what they, like Buddha's hand. I don't even know what it tastes like.
right, yeah, I think Buddha's hand is a citrusy fruit, but citrus is a pretty broad category. And do you include pineapple in citrus, even though it tastes very citrusy itself? A lot of people don't.
And there's one thing I will never ever use as an exotic fruit in my meat, and it's probably durian.
I would be kind of curious to make a durian meat, to be honest. I
Oh.
don't know that I want to process it anywhere near living space from everything I've heard about durian,
Or let
but
city limits, but
I have heard that things fermented from durian can be very tasty. So this
okay,
makes
well.
me curious because, I mean, like, durian has that pungent kind of rotten smell, but apparently it is so popular that they have to forbid people from carrying it onto the subway in places like Singapore because they will, because it's that delicious that they want to eat it while they're riding the bus or whatever. You know?
Oh God, I from what I've seen, eating just the durian fruit is like, oh my God, the smell is like it's like death, but okay, but
There, when I was living in Prague, and I'm sorry for another when I was living in Prague story because I know I have a lot of them. There
well, you were
is,
there for a while.
I was there for 3 years,
Yeah.
and in the grand scheme of things, when I left there as a 22-year-old, I've been living in Prague for 3 years is a long while. That's, 15% of my life ish. As a 43-year-old, that's
A drop in the bucket.
yeah, less than 10%.
Yeah, I
So,
gotcha.
but they have a fermented cheese that. Oh my God, when it is sitting on a plate in front of you, smells like death. You want nothing to do with this stuff. It smells wretched. It stinks up the entire room of the bar. Like if there the bars that I went to at the time generally didn't have a smoking versus non-smoking section. They were generally all smoke if you want to. There's an ashtray on the table if you need it. And you kind of hope that everyone around you is smoking just to cover up the smell of this god-awful fermented cheese. But then you taste it and you go, oh shit, now I understand why people get this.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Generally speaking, the smell is such an integral part of taste. 99 times out of 10, but there are these edge cases like that fermented cheese that's like, oh, I don't know why this is so different, but this is so different. And I hope the logic part of me goes that durian is the same way, where it smells like death, but it must taste amazing. I hope
I hope
if it's
I've not
if it
heard that.
tastes like it supposedly smells, then I'm never going to Singapore, and I'm staying the hell away from any public transit where anybody gets a little bit uppity on those rules, because Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, but if it were me, we're talking about handling exotic fruits or things we haven't handled before.
Right.
My first reflex would be freeze and mash.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
it's
do a little research, freeze and mash.
ease of use, if nothing else,
If
right?
nothing else.
If we need further extraction, I think the softer texture stuff. That steam juicer is a way to go.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, these are kind of like pressure canners in that the technology hasn't fundamentally changed in like a century, century and a half. So you can buy a used one on eBay for half of what you would spend for a new one. And it will still work exactly the same because it's basically, if you had like a stainless steel one or aluminum cast one, it's probably just in perfect shape all by itself. Right there, even
Okay.
if it's like I
Rinse the dust off and go get going, huh?
right when I was getting into this mushroom growing stuff, I got a pressure canner off of somebody on Facebook Marketplace for like $20, and then only like as a just a random field of thought, I looked up the model number to see how old it actually was. Even if it was made in the last production year of this particular model's run, it was still older than my mother.
But if it works, hey,
Right. And at this point, I've done half a dozen runs of like pressure canning at 15 degrees, and I'm getting a little bit better at using it. It's easy peasy. Anyway, the other thing that I could think of though, for that, the steamer I think would work with softer fruits, but we might need to do something different with thicker fruits, right?
like
Like,
coconut or
or even like apple pear kind of pomacy stuff that is
okay.
not necessarily, there's a lot of fiber in those guys, right?
Yeah.
And I think this might be the crush press place.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm just to put in a plug in for Bacchus or they have press.
Yeah, you can rent a crush and a press for a weekend. And like, if I remember right, the crush, you literally just like get a power drill, hook it up to the sprocket on
Yeah,
that,
just crank it down.
run, and then you put the apples in there. It turns a whole apple or a whole pear into kind of a proto apple sauce, kind of a chunk. And then the apple press, you want to line it with like some cheesecloth or muslin or something like that, like t-shirt material, thin but still enough to
It'll
be
catch
the,
the chunks.
yeah, it'll catch the fibrous stuff. And then you just crank that guy down with the big wheel until it is pressing hard, and you'll get a hell of a lot of juice out of that.
Yeah, in the very light research I've done with this, that sounds awesome. But there's also something called the black sapote. It's a black cust. It's a chocolate custard fruit. It tastes like chocolate custard, like chocolate pudding. And we talked about doing chocolate things and milky things, and what if we have fruit out there that does exactly what we want, dude?
Does that flavor keep itself through the fermentation biotransformation
I don't know
process?
that.
I mean,
So many questions.
it's a lot of questions. I have a feeling this is just going to make our wives hate us, because the end result here is inevitably going to be that, we're going to have to buy a giant ass greenhouse that we can grow these tropical fruits in so that we can try this in the first place. And,
So if you guys want to donate to this cause, give us a holler. We'll set up
I
something.
don't know, man. Apparently my wife will scalp me if I get one more tree, so.
My wife wants a greenhouse, so we can run it
Okay, well, we'll just. It was Chris's idea. Honey, Cat said it was okay.
my way. Yeah, just say it's my idea. Don't put Cat in this, because then I'm in trouble. Yeah, just put it on me. I want a greenhouse, man, because I want to grow the things I can't grow here.
Yeah, I would just love to be able to have citrus stuff,
Yeah.
because I don't think even the hardiest of citrus trees will survive out here out in
No,
the winter.
not a
And
chance.
the best I can do at this point is get like a dwarf key lime and leave it in my kitchen for
Yeah,
4 to 5 months out of the year.
yay. But no, I'd love to have that because I kid you not, I mean, I've seen in greenhouses that do the aquaponics, hydroponics, things like that. I've seen banana trees, coconut trees, key lime trees. I mean, with the tomatoes, peppers, cucumber, all that, yeah. But I've seen the exotic fruit trees because in Wisconsin, where it gets really cold, and I'm sitting here,
Well, and just from a mental well-being standpoint, I got that seasonal affective disorder, and we're getting into the shorter days of the year now.
yeah.
That's like my kid and I were out running errands last night, and he looked outside as we were leaving Costco, and he goes, "Oh, maybe we should just go home. It's getting dark out." And I was like, "Oh, it's only 8 o'clock, buddy."
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, wait till it gets
okay.
around, it's going getting dark around
I
six.
know, right? Well, and again, living in Prague, it was like dark around 4:35. Like, that sucked.
Mean,
Sunlight is my friend. I would love to have somewhere warm that I could sit out and enjoy like as natural a sunlight as you can get through a pane of glass,
yeah.
at least, year round.
And I'll be, we have in the Midwest, we have both the best weather in the world and we have the worst weather in the world.
Sometimes on the same day.
And yeah, that's why I was, you finished my thought because, you mentioned earlier before we started recording the fruit of a cashew tree.
Cashews have a fruit to them, and I at one point or another I had a mead that was made with the fruit of the cashew tree. I don't remember for the life of me what it tasted like.
And I don't know if that's for, it's because it was forgettable or because your
The,
brain just couldn't handle it.
the, well and it was more like this was 8 or 9 years ago, and shortly after I got my BJCP meat judge certification in the first place. But it is, I forget exactly where this is grown, whether it's like it's somewhere in Central or South America, so not an easy drive from here, obviously. But in local areas where the cashews are actually grown, indigenous cultures there, they eat the fruit normally, and it's just a normal thing for them. You buy it at the market, and they'll use it in jams and jellies and things like that. It's just not something that we get here, because that fruit doesn't last for the import part like the
Yeah.
nut does. And so I guess this guy had a supply of it that he had, either, I don't imagine he was able to bring it back, but maybe he made some while he was there getting it. I forget exactly how that worked. Or maybe he found somewhere that they were growing it, in states. But he got some of the fruit. He made it into a small batch of mead, and I got to try a little. And it was an interesting thing that I, part of this is also, well, what do I taste? It's the cashew brie, but I don't know what to equate that to. We've talked about all these fruits that taste like bananas or like papayas or like mangoes, but
Or chocolate pudding
right.
or whatever.
But is that, we're still playing the like game.
Yeah.
It's not exact. So, what do I equate that to? And is it,
Is it
how
gonna,
close is that equation?
and also is it gonna survive the fermentation? This is why I love being a mead maker, because I'm not gonna run out of ideas or things I can do.
Right.
This is not gonna happen.
We live in such a beautifully large and varied world with so many options like this that, there are maybe a couple dozen kinds of like fruit varieties that are so easy for us to find. I can go to, the Price Chopper up the street any day of the week and find those there because we have greenhouses and we have the technology to make red delicious apples and Cavendish bananas and black plums and, green and red table
And
grapes
gold
available
kiwi and
year round,
yeah.
anytime we want to, constantly at our fingertips. But these odd ones that aren't easy to store and produce and ship around the world and go through th three to six different warehouses before it ends up on the shelf for us to buy.
Yeah. We don't,
Fascinating.
yeah, they're fascinating. I mean, and but but what we're most talking about is how to use the fruit you have available to you
Right.
and how to process it for your mead. Now, the bottom line is we, Jeff and I freeze and mash. Another thing is this the steam juicer that you talked
I've
about.
heard good things about it. I've not got to try it myself. I'm very curious.
I mean, I have a juicer. Like I said, if you want to try it sometime, you're welcome to, but I don't have a steam juicer.
I think you said yours was like a mechanical one,
Yeah.
so I'm assuming it's kind of
It's
like a.
like, I think it's literally Jack LaLanne's juicer
Okay,
thing.
yeah. I'm pretty sure from if we like look under the cover, it's not going to be too much different than like what the apple juicer, crusher and press at
Probably not.
Bacchus is going to be doing. It's going to be something to break up the fruit and something to push
Yeah.
the mechanically push it like
It
out.
when you put your whatever fruit you have in there, it'll break into little tiny bitty mushy bits, and it's a centrifuge which will spin the juice out and flow into a thing, into a
Okay,
catcher,
so yeah, it's a
and you
little.
take out a different thing with all the pulp and everything and throw that away.
Okay, so it's not a pressing, but it's a centrifuging, otherwise mechanically separating
Yeah,
juice from. Yeah,
but
that makes sense.
we have the internet. We can get a steam juicer and see what happens there, because it sounds like we're gonna get more out of it than what I've got.
Very possible. And I'm, this is probably something that's worth trying. I've seen a number of people that are in the, I have my own aspirations towards the little suburban homestead kind of thing going, and sometimes more successful than others. But, the idea that a family can grow all the food they need for an entire year is one of those falsities that's easy to spread and tough to prove.
Yeah.
But it's also just kind of fun to be, in touch with the world around you and things like that. So I enjoy it for what it is. That said, yeah, no, I think just kind of the approach to, we've got these weird fruits or we've got this random thing we found, whether it's a pawpaw or a cherimoya or a black
Cashew,
sapote or, yeah, cashew.
or even the coffee berry,
Yeah, coffee berries would be really interesting to try too. And
because
those are.
what people don't realize is coffee beans are not beans; they're a seed from a coffee fruit. It's a berry. I would love to get some coffee berry and make the fruit version of that mead. It's not going to be like coffee.
Well, and I think the if the apocryphal history of the coffee production is to be true, like literally it was just some goat herder that noticed his goats were more energetic after they ate some coffee berries, and he didn't happen to notice that there is, yeah, caffeine in the seed part of that berry. And when he tried it and he was like, okay, this is all right. But then after some iterations, they roasted it and then ground it up and made a tea with it, essentially. And oh yeah, coffee. And that has conquered the world as far as the drug of choice for humanity.
Yep, and I've actually seen people walking up to a coffee place, tapping their forearm with their two fingers. They need their hit. And yeah, you're one of them, man.
I mean, when for the longest time in our friendship before, old age struck in and I had to cut down to 2 cups a day, hard max, otherwise my acid reflux was gonna, do its thing. I was drinking coffee around the clock. There are photos from our early days in, sword fighting clubs where I was teaching people to do rapier fighting with my right hand while I had a
And a cup
coffee
with
cup in the
your
other.
left. Yeah. I remember those days. And I'm sitting here, I've never been a coffee person. I get it. I really do. But oh my gosh. But yeah, but so the two things that we think I think we recommend is a steam juicer, which we have to try out ourselves, to be honest. We're gonna have to try that out. And freezing. But we can all stir it into a syrup. You can just simmer it on the stove, like I mentioned at one time.
I think at the end of the day, we need to figure out a way to separate the liquid, the sugar, the flavor, the good stuff from the fiber, the stuff that makes the fruit. And depending on the constituent, like mass of the fruit, we can do freeze thaw, we can do steam juicer, we can do the crush and squeeze method for, more mechanical stuff, or the centrifuge for the mechanical stuff. And it kind of depends on how much fiber and how thick and tough the fruit itself is, which approach we want to take for it. But it seems like, one of those methods is going to be, the one we want to go with, depending on how, like, thick or tough that fruit is, softer
And
stuff.
or by God forbid I ever do this again, the freeze-dried strawberries from a strawberry chocolate mead.
Well, and yeah, there is, if we have, let's say, hey, I happen to be on a walk in a unincorporated part of Missouri tomorrow, and I find a pawpaw tree in full ripe production, and I happen to have, like,
Trunk space.
right, like an empty tote in the trunk that I can just fill with pawpaws.
Or shirt that you can have the sleeves for, yeah.
But I gotta work tomorrow morning. What am I gonna do with all these pawpaws? Maybe preserving them, drying them,
Anything.
or yeah.
Okay, drying, dehydrating fruit. You're removing water, I get it. How would you just reconstitute it and mash it and freeze it, or would you just add water and run with it?
Well, and I think we've teased the idea of, like, making, like, a Christmas episode. I think we'll be doing that here pretty soon too.
Yeah, I mean we haven't hit Halloween yet, but
It's
might as
coming up.
well.
It's
Yeah, it's
all
coming
coming
up.
in. It's all going to take some time. I've
We're in
been
the burr months.
exactly.
Yeah.
I've been playing with this idea because I really like the idea of, like, the dried fruit and figgy and raisiny and
Nutty. I like the nutty.
nutties are nice too. But the idea of, like, some of those dried fruit flavors into meat as opposed to fresh fruit flavors, I think it plays nicely in that whole, like, fruitcake and figgy pudding, sugar plums and stuff like that, kind of those Christmas ideas, right?
Yeah. So maybe we'll next episode we'll talk about Christmas stuff
Yeah,
because
we'll kind of get into how do we use dried fruit as opposed to fresh fruit, or
yeah.
frozen fresh kind of stuff, because that's a it's a consideration, right? But sometimes you have an excess of stuff and you need to preserve it somehow, and you don't have freezer space.
I have no idea what that's like. I never have freezer space ever. So yeah, I'm right there.
I have freezer space right now because I bought a freezer 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I forget exactly. But I bought a big freezer after my both my original freezer and the keyser that I converted back to a freezer so that I had a freezer again both died on me. So
I mean, my wife wants to get a deep freezer, and I'm sitting here. We're just gonna fill that up too, and then I'm not gonna find anything.
we had that problem. The chest freezers with the hinged lid, we had that exact problem because you fill it from,
Bottom to
gravity.
top, and you never get to the bottom ever again.
Exactly. And what we finally decided, we got a standing freezer. It looks like a small refrigerator. And it has, like, shelves, like 8 different shelves throughout it. Just because we want to be able to see the stuff we put in there.
Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I can
And
do
then
that.
Costco had a great sale on one a few weeks back, so I got it.
I may look it up. So, you know, I'm not saying I don't want a freezer. I do want a freezer.
But there are problems with,
But
like,
there are
chest
problems with
freezers.
chest freezers. I'm not When I grew up, we had chest freezers you could put six bodies in.
Yeah.
And I don't ever recall seeing the bottom of that freezer.
The chest freezer that finally died on me over here, and there was a horrific story behind that as to why I no longer have a bunch of the hops that I was storing in that, not to mention like probably half of a pig's worth of pork butt and yeah, pork shoulder stuff that was going to go on the grill smoker.
If any of you out there think we're vegetarians, try again. Yeah.
Not by choice.
No. Yeah. I enjoy a good vegetarian meal, don't get me wrong, but I love my barbecue.
Kansas City barbecue is,
Next level, man.
king of the stuff. I mean, and I worship at that
Yeah, I
that.
worship that particular throne. I mean, Texas is good, don't get me wrong, but yeah, they're louder. We're better, in my opinion.
You know, I will hear out other regions that I've had some mustard rubs and some mustard-based barbecue sauces that were pretty okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't, the end of the day, I want my molasses and tomato.
In a few weeks, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to drop us down a platter of Slaps barbecue for you. I don't think you've been there yet, and I want you to give it a whirl.
I don't know if I've been there yet or if I've been to other ones in that neighborhood, but I was watching a best burnt ends in Kansas City video, and I think they were at least in the top five,
Yeah,
if not the
they
top
are
three.
known for their pork ribs. They won many awards from those things, and
I'm not a ribs guy.
that's okay. But there's plenty of other things they're really good at. If I'm gonna get you burnt ends, I might get the Chef Jay's or Gates.
Gates was also on the list, but it's Gates.
It's Gates, so is Arthur Bryant. Arthur Bryant is Arthur
I
Bryant's.
think Arthur Brand's invented the burnt end, so yeah, they've had some time to figure that shit out,
Yeah.
right?
Okay, sorry, KC moment there because we like our barbecue. But you've got to be able to, okay, believe me when I tell you, there's nothing more disheartening. I went through an entire bag of oranges because I didn't get to them quickly before I made them, put them in the honey for my Mountain Dew. Several of them went bad, and I just didn't feel like digging through to see if any of them were good. I threw it away. Preserving is your friend, guy. I mean, make a syrup, make an infusion, make something.
Well, and the other thing we need to think about here is the process of processing. Like, with those chirimoyas, I noticed as I was going, some of the older bits that I was cutting out and kind of putting into a bowl, they were starting to turn brown. That's oxidization. The same thing happens if you cut up an apple, right?
Yeah.
Or if you make a
Gu
guacamole
yeah,
or
guacamole. That's what I was just about to tell
avocados. You start to see stuff turning brown. Does that matter? With apples,
you. Not
no,
really.
not really.
With a chamoy, I don't know.
Yeah, with an avocado, apparently so. Apparently the
It does change flavor just a smidge. You can eat it, but you're not gonna like it as much. It gives it a slimy texture you don't like.
yeah. There, I mean, plus it's not the bright, vibrant green that I'm eating with my eyes first before I'm eating the
Well,
guacamole. So.
you ate fermented cheese, so I can't help you.
And vicarious in my flavor position. That's what drew us to the idea of these weird exotic fruits in the first place,
That's
probably.
probably true. Guys, so give us your thoughts. What do you think would be a good way to do this? We haven't covered all the ways. I'm sure there's a whole world of things to help you do these things better some other way.
For sure, this is scratching the surface. This is a little bit of armchair speculation on our part. Also, you guys, if you have an exotic fruit you've tried that you've put into meat or you would,
Please tell us.
let us know. If you know where to get it,
Please
oh my
tell us.
God, let us know. This
Oh
is the
my
kind of thing
God.
we would love to try
I mean, Jeff and I are still toying around with
fervently.
doing a video thing where we just try things and taking a little journey with us. We are not opposed to this in any shape, fashion, or form.
Yeah, no, if you have a line on some kind of weird Chilean fruit that grows in the Andes Mountains and
It has to be harvested by the full moon by a left-handed virgin or whatever.
yeah, and then flown through customs by a left-handed Benedictine monk with a speech impediment. Cool.
Yeah,
Like,
I'm good with this. I
give me
mean,
that guy's name and I'll learn to speak
tell us
Finnish.
about the Black Sabot. Tell us about the Buddha's hand. Tell us about the Rabatan. We are open because there, as I understand, this is just me. There, between fruits and vegetables out there you can potentially use for this kind of thing, there are 300,000 choices. That's a rough guess.
Also, let us know if you want to make Chris stand in the same room with me while I process a durian and turn it into a meat.
Bastard. That's just me. I'm glad you're a friend. I don't know if you're an enemy. But if you guys want this, I'll do it.
Hey, I mean, it could be worse. We could be recording at your house.
That's not worse. That's just inconvenient for the most part.
I don't know how long that durian smell lasts after you're done with the durian.
You're mean. I've said it. I just finished it. You're mean. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Now I'm actively afraid. Actively afraid.
But you don't have to live in the house after I'm done with the durian.
We may be doing it out in the street, across the street, at that one house for sale across the way.
It's not for sale anymore. They found a buyer
somewhere. Oh my gosh, how do they do that?
I didn't look at the purchase price.
We may go to the city park then, because may not want it here either, because... But I'll do it.
There you go. A little remote camera work. And, we don't have to go too far to find, open fields here.
Hey, we could go up to the local grocery store and get kicked out.
Ah, man, I haven't been kicked out of a store since I was a teenager.
Good times. Good times. Good times. All right. Thank you for joining us today. This is just about exotic fruits and what we can do. Give us your thoughts. Give us your opinions. For goodness sakes.
Yeah, this is.
Give us a call about anything.
This is the start of the conversation. This is not the end all be all. I mean, we want to hear from you guys as far as, strategies, thoughts. Like, did you ever see, there was a documentary years and years ago called, like, Fruit Hunters, I think? I think it's 10, 12 years ago. But Bill Pullman, the actor, the guy that was the president in Independence Day.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a fruit nut. He is.
I did not know this. I didn't see the show either, so.
Like, I've seen him in a bunch of different movies in a bunch of different roles. And, like, the documentary, you get to see him in this, like, garden space that he's working in and trying these different fruits. And he's got that kind of borderline crazy lust for information that I see in myself when I talk about mead, in his eyes when he's talking about fruit, and it's like, okay, respect, kind of borderline crazy, but I feel that I understand that.
Nonetheless,
respect. It's so cool to see, like, there's a level of vulnerability in showing how interested he is in fruit and how crazy about fruit he is in that documentary. That I find in your.
Okay, well, oh man, but I hate it when we think of more things to think about with this, because I don't have a lifespan for this, man.
Well, no one does, but it's the perennial problem of every time you check something off your to-do list, 2 to 3 more things get added off. And unfortunately, we're really good at finding new and interesting avenues to look down. Like,
it's true.
I mean, put it this way, it could be worse. Instead of talking about this for like an hour, we could have been going to every like Middle Eastern and Asian and African market in the city and looking at their produce selections.
I know where 2 or 3 of those are.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm saying we talked about it in a broad strokes kind of a thing instead of doing that. And that would have gotten us into way more trouble.
Road trip?
See you guys later.
Thank you. Have a good day.